Hope that you spent some time staring at your hand last week. I know it was a weird challenge, right? But thinking about what you hold on spiritually to and that you need to let go and allow God to repurpose was what we were talking about last week. Taking the leap to allow God to give you purpose in your life. With Moses, it was his staff, and God, he said, I can't do this. Why are you calling me? And he had the staff in his hand, and God, you know, told him to drop the staff, and it became a snake, if you remember, right? And then Moses wanted to run away from it, like most people, right? That's natural reaction, right? Usually when we hold on to something and we're prideful of it and we hang our hat on it and it's not with God at the center of it, and we put it down and God shows us what it became. Something that is not desirable to other people, right? And God repurposed it, had him grab it again, and it became this staff, right? And Moses was like, okay, I can do this because God is doing this through me, right? We have things in our life that need to be repurposed for God, and I hope that you spent this last week spending time looking at your hand, I know, and going, Lord, what do I need to repurpose? What do I need to let go of? And give to you and pick back up and go, okay, let's go, right? This week, we're going to be talking about the call. We're taking the leap, and we're talking about the call. I'm going to read out of John, actually, and John 21, 15 through 19. I'll let you, if you want to open up, it's in the New Testament, it's near the back, it's the last of the Gospels. It's in the back of John. In fact, I believe it's the last chapter of John. All right, and let me give you context of what has happened here. It's a conversation with Peter that's going on here. All right, and he's talking to Peter, and this is after the resurrection. So Peter saw Jesus die on the cross, right? Was devastated by it, and if you remember what happened before Jesus dying on the cross. Peter did what? He denied knowing who Jesus was three times. Now, if you remember, Jesus told him while he was sitting at the Last Supper, one of those moments of the dinner table conversation, that you're going to deny me three times before the crow crows, right? It's a weird way to put it, I guess. Crow barks. I like that better. You can take that home with you, all right? Pastor doesn't know animals, all right? And Peter was one of those ones, he was, when he was on fire, he was on fire. And he truly believed in everything that he was, right? And Peter goes, no, I would never deny you. In fact, I don't want anything to happen to you. I want you to know I'm your best disciple kind of deal. I will die for you, right? And he sees Jesus die on the cross. Well, he gets taken first, and all of a sudden he gets these confrontations of moments where I think some of us have probably been on those moments in our life where, you know, we're kind of getting called out on the carpet. You know what those moments are like? And you're going, how do I respond? I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to, this has put me on the spot here. I kind of just wanted to fade away into the grass and be like, so nobody can see me kind of deal. Kind of Peter was in that moment. Every moment he got confronted, he's like, oh, I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. And he did that three times, and all of a sudden, boom, the crow barked, right? And then he realized what he did. Anybody ever realize what they've done and lived in that? Like, you didn't know your actions had consequences. You didn't know you were doing something until after that you crushed somebody. I don't know about you, but I do that a lot. Not intentionally. I wouldn't say I do it a lot. I just get told, hey, you were really mean. I was just joking, right? My humor can get me in trouble, right? So I've had to watch that. I've grown through the years. I've done assessments as youth pastors for each group that's ever graduated, and I usually ask, so how many did I make cry? You know, I got to see the numbers dwindle through the years. Right? And teenagers are more emotional. They're a fun group to kind of give a hard time because I think sometimes they need a cry. Anyway, right? Sometimes adults need to cry too and kind of realize what they've said. Anyway, I'm veering off the track here. But Peter was living in this moment that he realized, I just denied my Messiah. I just denied my best friend. I just denied everything in which was the purpose of my life up to this point for 3 years. Like, I've been on missions with this guy. I've gone to towns. I've seen us have to avoid areas that we were running for our life, and I was not in fear in those moments. I was, excited in those moments. And then all of a sudden, I began to live with fear, and I denied my friend. I denied my Messiah. I denied who Jesus was in my life. And he lived in that. Lived in that. Like, he was living in that guilt and that shame from that point on. Until this moment here. And let me read it for you. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? It's an awesome question. Now, this love that Jesus is saying is agape love, which is unconditional love, all right? Back then, they had different words for love. They had 6 different words for love, right? Now, we're going to see 2 different forms of love here. Peter responds, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you, which is phileo love, affectionate, warm, you're my friend kind of love, right? Jesus replied, feed my lambs. Now, I want you to, if you got your Bibles, if you like to underline, I want you to underline, feed my lambs, all right? Because we tend to pass this over for what the statement is being said here. We don't tend to focus on what Jesus is telling Peter to do. We focus on the other aspect of it, all right? So again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, Peter, do you love me? Again, agape, right? Unconditional love. Meaning, I would do anything for you kind of love. That no matter what you do to me kind of love, I will still love you no matter what. Can you imagine that kind of love? Like, that's a high demand of a love. Even for a buddy. Even for a best friend. You mean I can rip you all up and down, will you love me still? I can challenge your friendship, will you love me still? Right? This is Peter's response. Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Phileo love, right there. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Underline that if you want. Now, within their culture, there's something unique here. The Jewish culture, they were very intentional in how they had conversations. Even the format of having a conversation was very intentional. Right? That I feel like we can have intentional conversations, but nothing like they did back then. Right? What I mean by that is this. If you ask the same question 3 times during their culture, their context that they lived in, it became an insult. It became something that was like, hey, this is so serious that you have violated something here in this relationship that I am so serious. It's like a parent, more than a parent, that has to repeat themselves, like, what? The 3rd time, you're like, listen! I'm going to hurt you! Right? I don't know. I maybe just me, my parenting, I don't know. Lord, forgive me. Right? But you get to that point with the 3rd time, you're like, listen, I guess I'm going to have to yell. But for them, it was more personal. It was like a personal attack. And so you can kind of see it how he responds, right? Jesus said, you know that. Peter replied, yeah, where am I at? I'm sorry. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this one was phileo. Like, he backed off a little bit. Do you love me just as a friend? Right? And he replied, Peter was hurt. Now you kind of understand why Peter was hurt. Because this was more intentional. And he kind of downgraded love. Kind of proving a point, like, you're stuck. You're stuck right where you were when you doubted me 3 times, and you have lived in that moment since. You have not allowed yourself to move on. Have you ever been stuck emotionally where you feel like I just keep redoing the same sin, or I keep living in this moment of like I feel guilty nonstop for what I have done? This is Peter. He became, instead of being the church that Jesus wanted to build the rock on, instead of being what God had called him to be, guess what he became? The doubter. The denier. Now, luckily, do we know Peter is that? No. Because of this intentional conversation that Jesus had with him. That he forgave him three times. Because he denied him three times. Man, I love how Jesus is so intentional with his relationship with us. Think about that. Think about how much Jesus loves you and how intentional he wants to be with you. That it's not just this distant friendship that sits out there. It's intentional when we need Jesus to be in our face and confronting what needs to be confronted. Because he knew Peter was not growing. He knew Peter lived with this shame that he was dealing with, this guilt of denying him, that he was no longer Peter that he had called to be, and that he just was like, okay, I should just probably give up. Right? And Jesus wasn't going to allow that. Do you love me? He said. Do you know all the things? You know that I love you. This is Peter. I'm sorry. Let me reread it. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger and dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you were old, you stretched out your hands and somebody else dressed you and led you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this is to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. I find this very awesome because this is kind of the last thing that we have on record that Jesus said to Peter. Follow me. And if we remember, what's the first thing he said to Peter? Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Kind of cool way to end this, but also, do you know how Peter died? This pointed towards it, that he would die the same death as Jesus. Peter was crucified on the cross, and he did not want to have the same, he did not feel like he deserved the same kind of crucifixion as Jesus did, so they did his upside down. Jesus is so intentional with us. He called him to follow him, and Peter had a choice to follow him or not, and he all suddenly, from that point on, too, it released him from all that guilt. He realized, okay, I am not bound by my denial. I'm not bound by my sin. I am got a new identity in Jesus Christ. This is my calling, and I will gladly do it again. Okay, but what I want to focus on today is the feed me, the feed your church, tend to your church, right? Feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. And what I want to give us is this. I want to look at the dinner table. I have an awesome prop that the Trips dropped off, right? And it looks like if this was my dinner table, I think, oh, this is a fancy dinner tonight, right? Usually it's a good setup. I don't want to get in trouble, right? But, I mean, there's multiple cups out. I'm like, what's going on? There's actually salad bowls. It's nicely set. It's nicely set, right? And what I want, I'm going to preach from here this morning. I hope you can see me. I hope that's okay that I'm going to sit down. You can yell at me later that you sat down during your service and didn't do anything. All right. I'm going to sit here. I want you to understand what's missing from this scene. Other people, right? Do you know what takes to get people to your table that's not family? You invite them. Now, I don't want you to, the tendency is to think in this thought process that the dinner table is where? Church, right? I want you to take that out of it for this moment. Because I think that's very, I think this is a moment that we sit together and we are actually preparing a meal and we're talking about, and we're opening the bread of life and we're talking about it, right? But I think, I want you to take it from this point that he was telling Peter. That every time you sit down with somebody, is an opportunity to tend to my sheep, feed to my sheep. He said it three times to Pete. How important to Jesus was this? Now, this is what I think we have a tendency to do. I think we intentionally want somebody to know that God loves them, has been praying for somebody, wants them to know that God loves them, right? So we invite them to the table, and they sit down. Imagine there's other people up here. I was going to invite you, but then I thought, I might put you on a spot, and if you said no, then you were going to be an example later on, and then you would be mad. Anyway, right? Because rejection, some of you might reject me, and that's okay. You got to be okay if somebody rejects coming to your dinner table. It doesn't mean you give up either. Do you know that? It doesn't mean you give up. It means you keep loving on them. You keep moving forward, right? Now, this is what I think. Imagine the chairs are full. Imagine I actually have friends. I know it's tough, all right? And they're sitting here, and I'm sitting with them, and we just sit here. What's missing? Conversation. Food. Food's kind of essential for dinner, isn't it? It is, right? I think a lot of us in our relationship with people and God, we have this hope that as we sit down, God will provide the meal, and I had to do nothing for that. Do you know that's not how it goes? And we can see it here, what he says to Peter. He says, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. It doesn't say, bring them to the table and I will do all the work. It says, you need to be prepped and ready to talk to them, love on them, be there for them, answer their questions. What we said, Tim said it earlier, be prepared to give what the gospel says. I think many of us come to the table and just hope that it happens. Or we have a tendency not to invite anybody to the table because we're scared what the discussion is going to be. You see, we are challenged as a church to love as Peter has been loved. As Peter's been asked, how do you love me? Do you love me? And it shows by our, not our words necessarily, but by our actions to God and other people. And one of the biggest aspects I think that we lose in this culture is the and. I think we do a really good job loving God. I think if it was just a personal relationship between me and God, that's really easy. I can sit here at this table by myself and be satisfied spiritually if it's just me and God. But the greatest command doesn't allow me to sit here and just be by myself. The greatest command challenges me to love other people. Not good people. Not people that look like me. Not people with any kind of same ideologies. Luckily, he just says love people. Love others. I want you to think about that. And this has been our culture and our understanding of what it comes to the table, right? We hope that the pastor has a really great message that day, and I bring a friend, and my friend gets saved. Am I wrong? Am I right about that? Am I close to that? I'm going to tell you right now, I do believe God can do that, but I think he wants you to have more of a role in that situation than any senior pastor, any pastor on staff. I really believe that God has put you in somebody's life that you invited to sit at the dinner table with them spiritually and have these conversations. I really do. And I'm going to tell you right now, the conversations that we have about God is probably not the most healthy conversations. We have a tendency as a church to sit around and go, okay. Now, I'm not putting you on front. Maybe you do this, maybe you don't. But we become critical of how we do church. We become critical of what the songs are said or what the preachers preach, and we become critical in how are we doing the mission and vision and looking for the future, and we have forgotten that we're supposed to be sitting down and asking, how's God moving in your life? How can I be praying for you? Oh, you're going through a divorce. Are you, like, how can I love you through that? Like, there's all these things. God wants it to be such a personal moment. If you think about the dinner table and your calling, you're not just called to bring people here. You're called to bring God to them. And you got to be prepared. So that means that this is why we talk about what the Scripture means so much for you. This is why I talk about why prayer is so important to us. Through the week, if you're not ate up, if you're not reading enough, if you're not in God's Word, and it can be just a short paragraph, anything, any kind of devotion through the week will sustain you. If you're just living on the words of Scripture from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, you're starving yourself. And no wonder you don't want people to sit at your table, because you are not spiritually healthy at a point to even share Scripture, because you are barely holding on to enough for yourself. We need to have our tables ready and prepared to share God's love. We need to be intentional with people, to love on them, and think of them more as eternal friends instead of situational friends. Every person that you encounter is somebody that God has loved so much that He sent His Son to die for. You see, Peter lived in his moment of sin. He lived in that moment of shame and remorse, and he couldn't sit at the table with any, because he would have just shared all his garbage with them. He would have just sat there and moaned and cried, and they would have been like, where's the hope in all this? If you sit around the table and you're just negative about everything, I mean, we live in a culture that is full of hopelessness. I don't think any government has saved anybody spiritually. I haven't seen it yet. And I think if we all take consensus, what's the most important thing in your life? Hopefully it's God. Hopefully it's what God is doing in your life. Hopefully it's what, you know, the biggest concern in my life is not so much the standing that I have here, but what I have for eternity. That I know if I were to die today, I know God's got me. I know that I can live without fear no matter what comes my way. God's got me. And He's going through it with me. I can sustain this because God has sustained me. You get that? If we show up with that at the dinner table, imagine the meal that you have presented for them, that you care enough, that you spent the time this week to invest in God to prepare for the conversation that you're going to have with them. Have you prayed about the people that you know that God has called you to? I think half the time we're not prepared to give what God wants us to give because we have not prayed up. We've done I'm very concerned for them. I don't like where their life is heading down. Man, if only they knew. I put it this way, if I have a child and I see my child that's just standing in the middle of the road and I go, oh, he's going to get hit, that poor kid. We laugh, but spiritually, we are doing this. And our biggest concern is trying to get them in these walls so we can get them saved. And God's saying, no, wait. I want them here, but this is what I really want. I want you to be involved in their life. I want you to have purpose that we talked about last week, to go and share and feed and tend to these people. Show them that I have moved in your life. Show them how much I have prepared this meal for them, that they will be loved forever and forgiven forever. Invest in them. Imagine we cared for somebody that, it's easy to go, okay, this normal setting, I see my wife here, I see Natalie here, I see Jackson here, and this is a normal set of like easy circumstances, right? And we get to talk, and there are moments that we have some deep conversations, and then there's moments that we don't have deep conversations, but those moments that are not deep are very substantial. It's building a foundation. It's building relationship. It's letting know, hey, so how was your day? It was good. Okay, I want to know more. More than just good. Right? And guess what that means? I have to ask even more intentional questions that are not just yes and no, not just, so tell me, what was the most exciting thing about the day? Right? I can repeat conversations that we've had because it's been, I took the step to make the extra question, or my wife took the step and is like, no, you don't get away with just the good. Let's dive deeper. Imagine if we did that with people that God has put around us. With the ideology of going, God has moved in me, I need to allow God to move me to you, so tell me, how's life? Good. What's the next question? Well, what's been good about it? How can I share your praise? How can I be excited with you? Imagine if you even took the next step, and that's okay, but you asked them, how can I be praying for you? And they hesitate for a couple minutes, but they're like, okay, I'll share. And they unload. Now, this is our tendency, at least I don't know about you, but before with our eyes, all right, I made a step, but I would tend to go, okay, I'll pray, but what does that mean? It means you follow up. It means, hey, I've been praying about this. Have you seen God move? And you ask him. You got to be prepared to have the conversations that are your eternal conversations. You see, this is what we live in right now. We live in a world that we don't know how to share our testimony. We don't know how to share what God has done. We can do it here in the safe confines of a church service. But nowhere in Scripture does it say this is where you're supposed to only live it out. You are called to have this moment at the dinner table that's prepared. You get up and serve them. Now, there's a couple aspects on this, too. If you're new to the faith, guess what? When somebody asks God into their life and they're sitting at the table with you, and they go, I totally believe. I'm excited to be here. You don't just abandon them. You go, okay, they got it. We're good. Let's move on. Guess what? Discipleship comes in and goes, okay, are you taking care? Are you tending to? Are you still feeding my people? See, there's different levels. I want to also say with us as a church, not just this church, but most churches I've ever been, we've only had maybe a few people willing to serve the meals spiritually. And we have a lot of people taking. And we have sustained that for years. I want to repeat that real quick. A lot of you got saved. A lot of you grew a little bit. And a lot of you just stayed still because it was easy. At some point, you have to be willing to get up from the table and start serving. Start doing what God has called you to do. Start contributing to what the message and the mission of what God has put on your heart. Because if he's worked, this is the other thing. I think there has been so many times that we have felt like Peter because we've denied him before people because we're not ready to share what God has put in our heart for them. We're scared. And we continue to buy into the lie that we're not good enough to share. We don't know enough to share. What if they ask me a question that I won't be able to answer? You're not going to know every answer. That's okay. That's why we meet as a church body, so we can get together and be like, hey, I was asked this question. Can you help me out? We collectively are supposed to help each other out, lift each other up. We also come to this table and go, hey, we have multiple tables through the week, too, as believers. We have people that are mentoring us, and we have people that we're mentoring. So we sit at the table that we're being mentored and say, hey, this was posed to me this week. Help me. How do I answer this? Like, it's an amazing cyclical part that we need to do as a church body. Reinvest in each other, love each other, and that we go and invest in other people. What the tendency is this, the table that I'm getting mentored at, guess what it's easy to do? Is go, hey, can I invite somebody to this table so you can explain this? Can I invite another person to this table because they need to hear your message? You know what they really need? They need to hear the message that God has put on your heart to tell them. In the way that God has loved you, because he's put them in your life for a reason. This sounds like I'm coming down on you, but within this scripture that we read, Jesus was really, really intentional with this moment. He said it three times for a reason. Are you feeding my sheep? Are you tending to my sheep? Are you feeding my sheep? You see, we are called, like Peter represents the church. We're called not just to invest in people outside of this, we're called to invest in people in here. And there's people across the aisles that don't know each other. And we are called to love each other. We're called to look beyond the differences and care and be there for each other. We're called to sit down and have conversations that are God-centered. I wonder, when's the last conversation you had, besides on a Sunday maybe, that you had about God? That was a real conversation, not one that was like critical about somebody else's description of God. You can go home and talk about like, oh, why did he sit the whole time? Why? Oh, I'm hungry now. But my hope is this, is that God has made an impact in your life so much that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, took all your sins, and that you're excited to share that message with everybody that you come across. And through the week, you're reading scripture and you go, oh, he did that too? Oh, I want that to be shared. I want to live that out. I want to be the hands and feet. I want to live in sacrifice so God is shown to this world. We have enough walls that are put up. Maybe we need to start with our trumpets and walking around some walls and just start going, man, we got a cheerful noise for you. I got a great message for you. You may leave in like desperation, but God's got hope for you. He loves you no matter what. It's a great message. It's a life-altering message. But he's put it in our hands to deliver it. We cannot hold on to it. We are bound to it. This is our mission. To love God and to love people. Every time you sit down for dinner this week, this is what I'm going to ask, is that you're praying for somebody that's not directly related to you. That you start going, God, put a person in my mind and heart that I need to share your glory with. That I need to start having a relationship outside of my house, outside of wherever I have that relationship with them, to share a life that is full of redemption. A life that's worth living. To share God. And I'm going to tell you right now, please, especially if they don't know God right away, don't just hit them with the Bible. Develop a relationship. Build the foundation with them. Let them know they can trust you. Let them know that they can believe you. Let them know that you're there for them no matter what. That you will go the extra mile with them. And it's got to be beyond just the moments that you have with them, too. You've got to take the effort. You are the hands and feet of God. He has called you to be his mouthpiece. He's called you to live out those actions. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at Scripture, I'm looking at some of the young ones, too. You are not void of this call. If you know Timothy, he was probably 13, 14, 15 years old when he was running a church. He can use you to change a world around you. He can use you to change a school, to change a team, to love on all your friends. And I'm going to put this on our adults. He wants to use you right where you work. Do you believe it? We live in a world that's scary to share our faith. But we should be more fearful of not sharing God and what he's done for us. We cannot hold on to this message anymore. We got to be willing to have the table ready, prepared, and serve the meal that God has put in our life to share with others. This is a nice set, but it means nothing when we don't have the message to go with it. You are called to bring the message to people. I love you guys, and I love the people that you bring here. I really do. But it is not Sunday that you start that foundation with your friends. It's Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's willing to live like God has changed your life. We have an awesome opportunity this Wednesday. We have a meal as a church. And this is what I challenge, that you guys all come back. First off, you sign up at the welcome desk. And it's this Wednesday, and you come, and it's from 5 to 5:30 that we're serving. You can sit a little bit afterwards, but we're only serving between 5 and 5:30, right? And then we get to sit down and just have a meal together. But this is what I hope, that you bring a friend maybe, and I know I just said it's not about bringing them necessarily to church, but this is our way to practice. This is our way, and maybe you just come and just start learning about how to talk about God on Wednesday night at a meal. They go, so what is God doing in your life? But if you are inspired to bring a friend, bring a friend. With the intent, how do I share God? How do I show them God loves them during this meal? And start praying about that. Sign-ups are right out there. All right? I want to, there's some other things. Oh, no, I'm losing everything. All right, there we go. All right. We have voting. If you're a member, we have voting after service, too. You can vote over there. You'll sign in with the checkers and get that all taken care of. This is church business. It's always fun to do church business, right? That's going on. Also, you know, church, we are called to take care of each other. And in that, you know what we have forgotten to do is take offering. Right? Well, our ushers come, and we're going to take offering. Woo! Larry was starting to panic. I could see it. Right? We'll take offering. Let us pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Take what we give, and may it just be given with a joyful heart today. May you do with it what it needs to be done with. We do this to glorify you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. Amen. While you're giving offering, we have two buckets. They're at the front door. As you leave, and in their white buckets, This is something that you guys have done before me, so I have to explain it, and I know there's some people that are new. It's the White Bucket Challenge, and what that is money that goes to people in our church that are in need, right? It's a fund that we have depleted, so God is working, right? So we want to take the opportunity for the next 2 weeks just to replenish that. So if you put it on, if you feel on your heart, this is beyond offering, right? This is an opportunity for you to give beyond your offering and give to, know that it's going to help somebody within our church to a needs that needs to be helped with. So, all right. So those are right on the, as you exit this morning, stand with me, church. I know it was a weird way to end it. I'm sorry. This is your call this week to be ready to serve a meal that could be eternal for somebody. To be praying for that person that you need to share a deeper relationship with. Being ready for yourself. Being fed daily with God's word is important. You know, it's never a necessity when it comes to God, but it should become a priority with God. All right? Wednesday, be here as a church and let's have a great meal. Sign up out there. Think about somebody that you want to invite. You know, we'll have a basket for donations, but other than that, it is, you know, it's free, so just donations, and it'll be a great meal. But it's more about sitting with people and talking about God. That's what's going to make it a great meal. All right, spend time this week reading God's word, praying about somebody that God is putting in your life, and share a meal with them this week, okay? Love you, church. You're dismissed.